The Senate Education Committee meeting is called to order. Hate to say this, is this thing on?
Yep.
There we go. It's not as loud as usual, I guess. Today is Monday, May 3rd, 2021. The time is 9:03 a.m. We're meeting in State Capitol Room number 205. Senators in attendance are Senator Hughes, Senator Stevens, Senator Begich, and myself, Chair, Senator Holland. I do not believe Senator Matricki is going to make it today. Thank you to Jeannie, our recording secretary, and Marissa, our moderator for today. As a reminder, please silence your cell phones. We have no official business on today's calendar, but today we will hear a presentation from the University of Alaska about attracting, preparing, and retaining qualified public school teachers. This report is required by Alaska Statute 14.40.190B during the first session of each legislature, and is to be presented in front of the standing education committees. Our speakers are Steve Atwater, Executive Dean of the Alaska College of Education at UAS, and Paul Layer, Vice President of Academic Students and Research. Mr. Atwater, please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your presentation.
Yeah, good morning. For the record, my name is Steve Atwater, Executive Dean of the Alaska College of Education. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Lair for the first couple of slides.
Thank you. Dr. Atwater, for the record, Paul Lair, Vice President for Academic Students and Research at the University of Alaska. If we can move to the second slide, please. So I wanted to just set the stage for this presentation. Again, it is a response to Alaska statute, and we submit this report on a biannual basis, and Dean Atwater and I are here to present that and answer questions that the committee might have. So the outline of the presentation today, we're going to summarize what we've done over the last 2 years, and over the last 2 years, we've seen some changes both within the schools of education and our universities, as well as in leadership at the university. We'll review what we are doing on preparing students to with our teacher preparation programs. We'll talk about what we're doing to retain K-12 teachers, but I will point out that this is really needs to be a partnership between us, the Department of Education and Early Development, local districts, and communities to really help retain those teachers. And so we'll talk a bit about what we're doing and the partnerships we have to do that. And then what we want to talk about, something that I know is on many of your mind, is how we are preparing teachers to teach reading. And so Dr. Atwater will talk a little bit about that. And then at the end, I'd like to come back and talk a little bit about looking ahead on how we are going to meet the challenges that we have for preparing teachers for Alaska schools. So with that, I will ask Weston to go to slide 3 and turn it back over to Dr. Atwater.
Yeah, again, for the record, Steve Atwater, Executive Dean, Alaska College of Education. But to start, you should know that UA continues to offer multiple pathways to earn a teaching certificate. We want to give students the options that they can match with their location and their lifestyle. Students can choose to take courses on campus or complete a degree online. Students can live in their home village or Talkeetna and do the degree from there. All licensure programs have a clinical component of practicum and an internship, or what is known as student teaching. Currently, there are 17 programs leading to initial licensure. Next slide, please. In this slide, you can see what each of the UA education unit offer. Students can choose from the different universities for different programs or options. Of note is that this fall, UAA is beginning a 2+2 option where UAA students can earn an AA degree and then seamlessly transfer to UAF or to UAS to complete their BA in elementary education. Neither UAF nor UAS require the student to take courses on their home campus, meaning a student can enroll at UAA in the fall and stay there and work through the elementary degree, education degree without leaving Anchorage. Next slide, please.
Question from Senator Begich.
Just really quick, Steve. The AA, of course, is just an AA in any topic, right? It's not. There's not an education AA. There's AA in any topic.
Indeed, it's an AA, but it's been closely articulated with the BA programs in Fairbanks and Southeast so that the students have a prescribed set of courses they have to take so that they match. They can't just be an at-large AA.
The reason I'm asking, if I can't follow up.
Follow up.
Is, of course, we don't have accreditation for an education school in Anchorage. So how? So how? What quality does that AA carry? Or is, I mean, explain to me, given our loss of accreditation with Anchorage, what is that AA worth, or is what I'm getting at here?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Begich, the AA portion of the degree is simply meeting the requirements of the degree at University of Alaska Anchorage and then transferring those to Fairbanks or Southeast to complete the BA.
Follow up.
I guess my confusion is there is no degree at the University of Alaska Anchorage for education. There is one in Southeast and there's one in Fairbanks. And so I'm just confused as to how this perceived AA, I guess it would be in education, how that will be perceived in a school that doesn't have an accreditation. That's what I'm getting at.
I'll just add, yeah. I think what he's stating is probably the coursework can be done at UAA, but then the degree is probably awarded through one of the other campuses, correct?
Yes, Senator Holland, thank you. The degree is not an education AA. It's a general AA to meet the general education requirements that are tied to the Bachelor of Arts degree for elementary ed.
That actually answers my question. That was the first question I asked. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Atwater, if you'd please resume.
Okay, and so the AA piece, I've done that. Let's go to slide five.
Slide five.
And so this slide shows you the enrollment of the different program areas for this year and the previous 5 years. As you can see, the overall enrollment in the UA education programs has been declining since 2016. It should be noted that this enrollment decline mirrors a broader national trend with enrollment in teacher preparation programs and also with the overall enrollment trend at UA. The bottom line is that overall, we are simply seeing fewer students interested in becoming teachers. The other item to note, of course, was the UAA loss of accreditation and the subsequent Board of Regents decision to discontinue the UAA initial licensure programs. Much of the drop from fall 2018 to fall 2019 can be attributed to this. We are optimistic, however, that our increased recruiting efforts, our current communications campaign, and UAA's new 2+2 program will begin to reverse this trend. And I'll be sharing more on these in a future slide. Next slide, please. So this slide shows you the number of new teachers, and this is a slide, these are the numbers that people are really most interested in. And these are the numbers for the students who complete a program to earn their first teaching certificate. And it's not those who are adding an endorsement or a certificate. So in layman's terms, this is the number of new teachers coming from UA each year. You should know that not all completers choose to teach, but about 82% of all our UA education grads are working in education-related fields. And that's an important note. Next slide.
A question from Senator Hughes.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair. Could we go back to slide five? Because I'm looking at from between 2015 and 2020 at UAS, and they've stayed steady, 316 to 318. So they've stayed flat. I look at UAF from 15 to 20, and they've picked up, 65 students. And yet the dramatic drop at UAA because of loss of accreditation have, lost, 575 or something. So why are we not, and this has been 2 years now, so this is not graduation, this is enrollment. So in 2 years, we've only some of that loss has moved to UAF, but a pretty small number. Have you not been trying to market to get your numbers up? Because when I look at the totals, we're talking about a substantial, can't do percentages in my head, but it looks like a 50% drop or something like that. And we're not making up for it at the other campuses, even though we have distance programs, we have ways that a student could be in Anchorage and get these degrees. And I know nationally the numbers are down, but I don't think they're down this much, certainly, are they? Are there, and just why are we so slow to pick up? That's going to really hit us hard, I'm afraid, Mr. Chair. you know, we have trouble bringing folks up from the lower 48. Why have we only gotten a few more at the UAF campus, and yet we've lost close to 600 at UAA? I guess I'm just disturbed and troubled by these drastic numbers, Mr. Chair.
Dean Atwater?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Hughes, thank you for that. And it is troubling. The overall number of people interested in becoming a teacher has been going down, as you said, across the country and certainly here in Alaska. We do have a concerted effort right now ongoing to recruit more people to teaching, and I'll speak about that later on. I think there was some confusion regarding local Anchorage area students with what their options are. I hope we've addressed that. And then finally, I believe the 2+2 option is a safe way for students to enroll at UAA and then continue to go on and earn a degree at F and S. So it is troubling, but we are, I think, making a good effort to turn that around, and I'll speak about that at a future slide.
Follow-up question?
So by this fall, it will be 3 years. So if you're doing a good job, we should really see a tremendous pickup, because in fall of 2018, before everything went downhill, you were at 606 at UAA. So if you're doing a good job, you need to be getting that number back up, because I just find it strange that all of a sudden there's a greater loss of interest in teaching in Anchorage or South Central than there is in the other area. So it is a communication marketing thing. And so this will be year three. So I'll be real curious to see those fall 2021 numbers at UAA, and hopefully I guess you wouldn't list them under UAA because they'd be getting their degrees through UAF or UAS, but I hope those numbers go up. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, if I could just follow up through the chair, Senator Hughes, in the report there's a breakout of where the students reside, and the vast majority of students are still residing or situated in South Central by far. That's the vast majority of the students are there. So we're still recruiting students from South Central, but overall we need to recruit more.
A question from Senator Stevens.
Actually, I think that my question probably you answered later as we go on, Dr. Atwater. I'm just concerned your comment that fewer students are interested in teaching. I assume that's a nationwide issue, and at some point I hope we'll have a chance to discuss that.
All right, so I believe that puts us back on maybe slide 7.
Yeah, slide 7 shows you the percentage of this percentage of teachers in Alaska that were prepared by UA. And this number, as you can see, is inching up. And while this number is not a majority, it is significant, because we know that UA prepared teachers stay in Alaska or stay and teach in Alaska longer than those that were prepared outside of the state. And so the goal, of course, is to have this number become in the 60s or 70s. And what that will do is it will drive down the turnover rate, which will reduce the churn and overall need for more teachers. Next slide, please. So slide 8, in summary, showing up cold to teach in Alaska is a big challenge. Teaching our state's indigenous children in a remote village is often very difficult for those coming from the lower 48. And for us, we feel that the UA prepared teachers do a good job with that. In Appendix B of the report, we list where all the interns are across the state. They're everywhere, and we're really proud that we have a lot of students gaining rural experience prior to getting their first job teaching, and this gives them a leg up. And so I think we want to make the point that while we serve all the state, we also have an emphasis on helping students have success in our rural villages, in our schools in rural villages. Next slide, please. And now I want to turn my attention to accreditation. I know this is an area of great interest for you. We closely watched the bill that was passed regarding accreditation. This table shows you the accreditation status for each of the units. Interestingly, during this presentation right now, the UAF School of Education is having a site review for its advanced programs. Just to be clear, there's two types of programs in an education unit. One are for the initial licensure, and those are for getting your first license. And then the advanced programs are when you're adding an endorsement or a certificate, for instance, becoming getting a principal certificate. So I did want to note that the UAA site review for its advanced programs went very well. That was earlier this spring. And they'll receive formal notice about their status, as will Fairbanks later on in the fall. Next slide, please.
Question from Senator Stevens.
Could you give us an idea, Dr. Atwater, when we can expect, how long will it be to receive full accreditation at UAA? Is that that's a multi-year program? Do you have any idea?
That's a decision that hasn't been formally made, and Dr. Lehr will address that in the final slide.
A question from Senator Begich.
Yeah, maybe just an illustration. I mean, to the point of the last couple times we've had testimony from the university, Senator Stevens, they've said they are not intending, that the Board of Regents has said they're not intending to reaccredit Anchorage, and that's been one of my concerns about the whole process. I mean, you know, on the earlier slides, we're talking about the whole decrease in the education system comes from the loss of accreditation in Anchorage. We were assured last year that was going to be turned around, and it hasn't turned around. And we're facing a situation where I guess we're advocating for growing our own food and be growing our own energy, but we're not growing our own teachers. It's deeply disappointing. And I recognize we've had a pandemic that's had an impact on this as well. But it's deeply disappointing. And so we'll see those numbers next year, Senator. And I'm not expecting much, frankly. So.
Thank you, Senator Begich. With no further questions, we can proceed. I guess we're on slide 10.
Slide 10. This slide gives you a quick look at what the CAPE accreditation is about. State regulation requires that the state's education units are accredited by CAPE. Standard 5 is the one in the center, and that's what drives the activity in the other standards. That is, the units establish processes that lead to improvement. There's a constant collection and review of data by faculty that leads to program modification. As an example, this week the faculty at UAS will be reviewing data and making recommendations for program improvement. So the point I want to make is that it's a quality assurance system that's the basis of the accreditation, and that it is the unit that receives accreditation and not an individual program. And so it's important to distinguish that. Doing extremely well, but if a unit isn't coordinated and done well, then that is the basis of the accreditation review. Next.
Slide number 11.
Thank you. So how do we know that our teachers are effective that come out of UAA? So when a student completes their program, we don't just issue them a diploma, pat them on the back, and hope all goes well. We are required through the accreditation process to track our graduates. We have case studies of our graduates where we examine K-12 student performance data and triangulate that with qualitative information about their teaching experience and student performance. Right now, we are conducting our annual survey of all principals who hired a UA-prepared teacher last year, and the results of this and other surveys help us to make improvements. Table 7 in your report has a sample of the survey statements and the percent of the responding principals who agree with the statement. After reviewing the survey results, it's easy to conclude that our graduates are well prepared for their teaching positions. Next slide, please.
Slide 12.
So in the next few slides, I'll begin to speak, I think, about what some of your disappointment is and what we're doing to recruit teachers to its teacher preparation programs, and also what UA is doing to help support K-12's efforts to retain their hires. You got to remember, this is two sides of the equation. If teachers stay in the profession, you don't need to recruit as many. And so that's a big piece of it, and we're working to address both sides of that. Slide 13, please. So we want to make sure that students have options and that there is a general coordination among the programs for such things as recruitment and, as necessary, offering students courses at the other UAs to meet degree requirements. And so we are constantly in a state of coordination and trying to make sure that the students have as many options as possible. Next slide, please. So in this slide, we list all the various areas that we're addressing the recruitment. One is the university invests in what's called Educators Rising. Educators Rising is a program designed to help high school students orient themselves to the teaching profession and then enroll in teacher preparation programs after high school. We now have Educators Rising activity in more than 25 of our school districts, most notably in the Mat-Su School District. It's the most active, but in other districts across the state as well. I want to emphasize this. Districts are more and more involved with Educators Rising. They're budgeting it for their own, in their own budgets to help teachers with the students who are in the program. And of note, and I put this in the report too, is that we are the first state in the nation to have a middle school curriculum for Educators Rising too. So we're going to extend that down into the middle school where the students at that ages 12 through 14 are being introduced to the teaching profession and thinking about, is that a good career for me? UA has a recruiter for the programs and has been working with school counselors, doing outreach to the high school classes, high school counselors, attending the K-12 college fairs, doing outreach through Rawhide program, AASB, that kind of thing. Obviously, this past year has been extremely difficult for that kind of recruitment because of its the pandemic and the remote nature of that. In the area of K-12 partnerships, each of the units has an external advisory committee where we bring together key stakeholders from K-12 to advise us on K-12 changes and trends. And so we're constantly seeking information to make sure that we're not drifting or losing sight of what really matters most at K-12. And finally, the challenge for UA of raising the social esteem of teaching is really a state level problem. Because I think you can in good faith argue that our state's teachers are one of its most important resources. And if you accept that, then the responsibility of elevating the teaching profession as a way to help recruit more teachers belongs to all of us. And the UA Foundation is recognizing this as part of their current campaign includes the area of education. A part of this area is to help the public recognize the importance of teaching and through their contributions to help recruit more students to its programs. And so it's, I think, a multifaceted endeavor to recruit more students to the teaching profession. And I did want to touch on the bullet of the communications campaign. Under direction of President Pitney, the university is undergoing an outreach communications campaign. We have a new website that a layperson can quickly determine directions to go for teacher options. We also have a digital marketing campaign that's in motion right now and later on we'll have some radio ads as well. And so we're making an effort to try and extend our outreach to as many people as possible that way. Next slide, please.
Dean Atwater, there was a question from Senator Begich, possibly on slide 13.
Yeah, it's on slide 13, and it ties into slide 14. Steve, the Teacher Retention Task Force was done for the last year. They've been meeting. Just my first question is, were you actively participating in that?
Yes, I was an advisor on that in that process, yes.
They've issued, I guess, a preliminary report in the process of issuing that report. And how much of that have you integrated into your page 14 slide? They had a number of suggestions. The number one suggestion was salary scale, which they've chosen to ignore. But, you know, but the second one was teacher retirement program. They had a number of other issues. How many of those issues track with what you're doing as an effort? In other words, are you using the evidence presented by the Teacher Retention Task Force to inform the seven bullet points on slide 14?
Well, you know, the university can't affect the compensation. We can't affect retirement other than to encourage that it be increased. But certainly with the Educators Rising piece, that was part of it, the encouraging students. We, you know, the university provides a significant amount of money for that. So we are actively part of that. And I think that if we can get students thinking in the term and also, but more importantly, to feel that teaching is a really good profession to go into. And I think that's a key thing that, as I said, that all of us need to embrace.
So on that last point, you know, how prevalent was the attitude of the attitude of the person in the profession? Where did that show up in the teacher
profession? I'm getting a lot of feedback. I was not able to hear your question.
The social esteem of the teaching profession that the UA Foundation is working on. I contribute to the UA Foundation. So I'm just my question is really where does that fall in the findings?
Not one of the premier areas that the existing teachers and retired teachers identified, but certainly I view it as a significant one. My experience with K-12 and with graduates, the example I like to tell is after graduation, I would often visit as a superintendent with parents. And inevitably, when a parent told me that their daughter was going to become a nurse, they did so with a little lightness in their voice. They were very excited about it. I never got the same kind of excitement when a parent told me their child was going to be a teacher. And so that's the piece that I'm after that we really need to work on.
Well, maybe at some point, Mr. Chairman, we could have a presentation with the superintendent task force and find out, sort of drill into those things that would help perhaps inform our support of the UA program. You know, I know that the UA education schools are trying their best to do it based on what we know is able. And I, each of these are things that I'm doing that they're professional. But I want to know if these things are working. I'm not all here in education. Let's show them that like anecdotal reasons why we've been focused on. And I believe it's what I'm saying.
Well, I haven't seen the presentation yet, but I believe we have the Teachers Retention Task Force scheduled for Wednesday.
Perfect.
Senator Hughes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a vicious cycle, and I don't know how we can break it. And I remember reading about the success in other nations, and they pay their teachers more, but part of it is, and social esteem is not the right word, because that has to do with what I think about myself, usually. So when you're talking about parents not being excited when their children go into teaching, there's another phrase for it. But in other nations, to get into a teacher education program in a university, their scores have to be high. It's like getting into medical school. It's like becoming a scientist or an engineer. It's perceived as a very distinguished career, which it's not in this nation. And we have, you know, and I've read some very disturbing things across the country that it's often our lower performing students who go into the university that choose the teaching degree, and it's this vicious cycle. So I don't know, you know, there's a lot about debate about paying for performance or whatever, but if we could lure people that have very high academics and, you know, the kind of students that could go into more distinguished careers where they'd make a lot of money, that would change things. Because what you see in other nations, a great teacher can overcome all the other barriers if they're really a great teacher. And if we could somehow lure higher performing students, and I know it's not just about academic grades and things, because there's a lot of things that make a great teacher, just care for the student and enthusiasm are huge. But, you know, if we have teachers and we're just going to raise their pay, but we're not expecting more at the front end when they go into the university, that's not doing the right thing. So I don't know how we can change this cycle where we have great teachers coming out and then we pay them more, and it encourages a student in high school, instead of going to medical school or instead of wanting to become an engineer, they might decide to go into teaching. I don't know how we make that happen. It's at some point you got to trigger it, and I don't know if the task force has taken that on, but I think it. I don't know where you started in that cycle, but it needs to start.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Senator Stevens.
Well, this is a great discussion, and I hope you don't take it as if it's critical of what the university is doing or what what's going on there, but. You know, there's so many great stories out there of people in mid-career as professional scientists or people in IT who decide to go into teaching at the mid-career because they know it's such a rewarding job. So I think what we're asking of the two gentlemen here is that help us figure this out. We What does it take to improve the situation? We don't know. I don't know. But we need to find out. And I look forward, Dr. Laird, to hearing what the regents are doing and how we can improve that. Is it simply a matter of dollars? I mean, what is it we can do to improve the situation? So you're hearing that from all of us. You know, we all have great respect. We've all had great teachers. And we just need to get back to the point where people go into the profession because they love it and they're dedicated to it.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. I believe it's back to you, Dean Atwater.
Thank you, Chair Howland. I think we're on slide 15. Is that correct?
I believe we're on slide 15.
Slide 15. So I'll shift attention now to retention. As I said earlier, if we are able to affect the retention of teachers, we will not need to have as many. And so I want to point out that the University of Alaska supports the statewide mentoring project, and that is a project of retired teachers working with early career teachers to help them have a successful transition into the profession. And we are proud to show we have quantitative data with regard to student performance that it makes a difference. And so there's some numbers there for you to look at. And obviously, early career teachers, you can see the numbers. We're not getting all of them, but we're certainly getting as many as we can afford to get to. Next slide, please.
Slide 16.
With regard to professional development, a key aspect of teacher retention is ensuring that there's professional development to help them grow and become more competent teachers as they go on, and also to respond to changes that are coming through the profession. And I want to point out that the UAA's Professional and Continuing Education, which goes by the acronym PACE, they facilitate courses that K-12 offers, and you can see the numbers on slide 16 regarding more and more of K-12 is utilizing the PACE office at UAA to provide those courses for credit. Next slide, please.
Slide 17.
So obviously this is an unusual time for us. It's an unusual time for everybody, but we haven't stopped. We've continued to offer our programs, offer our students the opportunity to become teachers, but certainly it was a difficult time. But I want to commend all the K-12 districts for including the UA interns in their activities this past year. It wouldn't have been very easy for the school districts to just put a pause on things and say, you know what, we're not going to take any teachers, any host teachers, any student teachers this year. Things are way too complicated with the pandemic. And so my thanks goes to all the host teachers who took on the interns. I really appreciate that. And I know that all of our faculty appreciate it as well. I know that Senator Hughes is very interested in virtual teaching, and our programs are placing more emphasis on this skill. And K-12, to be honest, they're telling us that their expectation is that our grads will be well-versed in virtual teaching. And so we are shifting what we're doing with the technology side of things to ensure that they're introduced to all the appropriate apps that make virtual teaching so fluid and so effective. So that's another piece that we're doing in response to this. And then finally, I included this picture. These are some graduate students in Togiak that were in advanced courses taking classes from the school porch, sitting outside in the winter because this was the only place they could secure an internet connection. And I know you've heard these stories over and over again, and you know the challenges of connectivity, but I did want to point out the perseverance of the K-12 system as well as the university system to make it work, to do what it takes to make it happen, and these students here illustrate that. Next slide, please.
Mr. Chairman, this is quite encouraging, the last couple of slides. I'm pleased to see them.
Thank you, Senator Beckett.
And so we've been closely following what is now Committee Substitute Bill 111, and as well as the conversation regarding preparing teachers to work with struggling readers. And so I wanted to take a couple slides just to address that. And thank you, first of all, for all of your work on this. Really appreciate that. It's certainly necessary. And during your hearings of the bill, there has been some dismissal of UA prepared teachers as not doing a good job. I want to use this as an opportunity to address some of that. So I included these bullets in the slide to let you know that we are closely following your work in this area, but more importantly, examining our own programs and our own, and as necessary, making refinements. So the UA prepared teachers are taught strategies for how to assess struggling readers, how to do assessments that will help drive instruction, and then the courses have been analyzed. So since the task force was put together, which is now 3 years ago or 4 years ago, we've been very active in this. Next slide, please.
Slide 19.
And so one of the big takeaways from the reading legislation is that faculty from each of the units have been meeting to share what they're doing and to make modifications to their programs. And so your legislation actually stimulated university coordination, university level activity, which was really positive. And so thank you for that. And I know the faculty that are tied to early elementary education and teaching reading have been engaged with that. And so we hope to be able to offer the needed professional development that the bill calls for. And I think that as more and more attention is given to reading, the university stands ready to help provide support in that area.
A question from Senator Hughes.
Thank you. And part of my concern, and we've had conversations about it around this table, I had earlier in the year a Zoom call with I want to say about 25 superintendents, and several of them spoke up and said that they were seeing students coming from the UAA campus not as prepared to teach reading as from UAF and UAS. UAF students were the only ones that were well prepared, according to superintendents. Three of them voiced that, and there were other nods in agreement of various superintendents. You mentioned that you do a survey with principals on general teaching and how prepared. Have you, because of our now new emphasis on reading, are you doing any kind of survey strictly on reading once those first year graduates are in the classroom, asking principals and superintendents? Because I think that feedback, I don't know if there's a breakdown, so are you doing any surveys specific to reading? And secondly, if I'm hearing this feedback from superintendents, some of it could be carryover from curriculum that's been used in the past that wasn't science-based, evidence-based. Have you, are all across all three campuses, is all the reading instruction using now evidence-based, science-based curriculum rather than some of the stuff that's been used in the past that has been shown not to be as effective? So have you switched out curriculum, and are you doing surveys of principals and superintendents specific to reading?
Dean Atwater.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, thank you for that comment and thank you for that question. I would offer that feedback from superintendents is lagging. I don't think that is current, and I would be happy to have a conversation, as I know the reading faculty would be, with superintendents regarding that. If you'll allow me to go to slide 20, and this will help address some of your question. And what I did here for the next two slides is to, we went directly to graduates and had them provide comment. These are graduates, first-year teachers this year. And the first is from a UAF grad, and she's teaching in Valdez. And I'm not going to read the quote. It's lengthy, but if you read through it, and particularly the second paragraph, Senator Hughes, you'll say, we spent a lot of time studying the importance of phonics, vocabulary, comprehension, phonemic awareness, and fluency. And so she stresses those skills. She was prepared to teach those skills. And so I think from that vantage, if you were to speak to someone who came out of the UAF program, which I know you did not identify as needing attention, that would there's evidence there from a teacher first year who's having success. If you go to the next slide, slide 21, we have a quote from a teacher coming out of UAS. Obviously, UAA no longer offers elementary, but this is a quote coming from a teacher. She's down in Anchor Point at Chapman School, and she offers a similar kind of feedback that we got. We asked her, how are you doing, or are you well prepared? And as you can see, she states she's well prepared for the job, but also notes that her students are all over the place, making it necessary for her to employ a variety of strategies in her classroom. But she was prepared for the big five that you emphasize with regard to evidence-based reading. So this is two. Do we have a formally statewide survey with regard to reading instruction? No. I think that the feedback that we're getting at the local level is positive, but that's a step that we should probably take. So I'll stop there.
Follow up as far as the curriculum, have you kind of cleaned out across the campuses some of the older curriculum, that didn't teach these big five, and are you sure that that is what is being taught in all your reading instruction for teachers across the state at all three campuses?
The Chair, Senator Hughes, thank you for that question. Yes, our foundations of literacy classes have been modified since the start of the dyslexic task force, and they are placing a greater emphasis on the big five, yes.
With no other questions, Dean Atwater, please resume.
So slide 22, this is an exciting development for me and I think for the system. I want to let you know that UAA is proposing to reestablish one of its initial licensure programs in early childhood. The proposal is working its way through the various UA level processes and will then be brought to the Board of Regents. From there, it goes to the state board with the hope that students can enroll in the program in January. This is timely with the focus on preschool and the reading legislation, and also with the federal interest in universal pre-K. And so this is, to answer Senator Begich's earlier question, this is the beginning of UAA reestablishing itself with regard to offering initial licensure.
Senator Begich.
Thank you, Chairman, and Dr. Atwater and Dr. Laird. This is exactly the kind of thing I'd like to see coming out of the university. And you know, in one of my other hats, I run a scholarship program that focuses on education and public service. And one of the areas, roughly a quarter of the applicants for the education side of that want to do early education, and they want BAs in early education. So actually, these are high school students identifying they want a four-year track for early ed. And so this is very, very exciting for me to see, because I know from hands-on experience there's interest in this area, and it is, of course, an area that we are emphasizing in not only SB 111 and HB 164, but in the personal bills of both Senator Hughes and myself, we had the same areas emphasized. So this is exciting for me to see, and I applaud you for moving forward in this effort, and I hope that the Board of Regents sees the wisdom of moving forward in this.
Thank you, Senator Begich. With no other questions or comments, Dean Atwater, please resume.
Yeah, that concludes my portion of the presentation, and we're now on to the final slide, slide 23, for Dr. Lehrer.
Thank you very much, Dean Atwater, and thank you, committee, for your feedback on this. Before I move on to the last slide, if we could just go back to 22 for a second. With this program that UAA is discussing, they're not starting from scratch. We have an accredited Associate of Applied Science degree, and still at UAA in early childhood education. It's accredited by the National Association for Education of Young Children. And so we still have retained faculty who can teach this program and get this going very quickly. It is a partnership, because we do require the state board to approve our graduates, even though the program will not have CAPE or any other accreditation, specialized accreditation initially. However, we expect that as the program is established and we are collecting data as is required by CAPE, that we will have an opportunity to apply for that accreditation. But we will need the state board to work with us for our graduates as they go through our program, so that they can be licensed in the state of Alaska to teach. And so that is the process that we will be going through this summer. Again, it's working through the UAA faculty senate as it does, and will come to the board in June as a proposal. We're really excited about that as a way to move forward, to try to address some of these needs going forward. If we can go now to 23.
Slide 23.
So just as an update of where we are, you know, one of the things I was just thinking about when we think about what the university can do, we can look at a lot of different aspects. One is capacity. And even though we lost some of our initial licensure programs at UAA, our programs still have capacity. We could take many more students who want to become teachers into the program tomorrow or today. And we would be ready to meet those needs. And so the key is then, how do we do that? One way is to explain what the pathways are, no matter where you are in the state, no matter what university you're at. What are those pathways to become a teacher? And so we are looking at a clear way to present those moving forward. The next one is support. And we've talked a little bit about that as well. And we are also looking at ways internally through some of our foundation efforts and others to provide additional support for would-be teachers. But, you know, other parts might be in terms of loan forgiveness programs or other kinds of support or scholarships. And so what we are doing is looking at that. We do have programs that will relax out-of-state tuition requirements for some students who want to come to the state to become teachers, and there are other things that we can look at. But lastly, it's really the perception. The university has seen a lot of turmoil over the last few years, and the education programs in a major way. Talking to the public, talking to potential students, that we have quality programs, that we have accessible programs, and that we want you here is really part of that, that the university is here to stay is a part of that message. And so the campaign that we are putting together will address that. So to really address this in a way to move forward, President Pitney has convened a working group, a task force, to look at our structure of our programs and how do we better partnership with the districts, with the state board, with you, to move these things forward. And so we've had a great reflective discussion over the last 8 months or so to really dive into what our programs should look like, what we need to meet the needs of the state. And this is now in a review stage. Nothing is finalized yet. We're still getting feedback. This involves faculty, staff, and student input on this. And we're going to be presenting this to the Board of Regents here in about a month at their June meeting. But really the key is to highlight those pathways for students to become teachers, no matter where they are in the state, the breadth of programs we have at our three universities, which is a very important thing to recognize, that each of the three university education programs meets very different needs and is important in the mix, that one size does not fit all. Students are very different in their approaches. And so what we want to do is talk about that. And to Senator Stevens's question, people coming back with baccalaureate degrees into our MAT program that UA Southeast has is really a critical part of that. Is there a way to, if I am a geologist as I am, and I want to come back into the teaching profession, making that pathway very clear, very accessible, very easy for me as a professional to come in and get a license to teach. And I think that that's a really important resource that we have in the state. And again, through especially UAS's MAT program, we can provide that pathway. It's mostly getting people to know that and to know that those teachers that we prepare are quality. And so with that, I would just simply say that we will keep you informed as the review on the proposal is moving forward, and you can see a big plan. I do agree that turning the ship around is not going to be immediate. We're hoping to see students coming into our programs in the fall. But again, to Senator Begich's observation, I don't think we will see us recovering all of the students that we lost from the UAA programs. But I would also point out that when you look at the graduates on one of the earlier slides that Dean Atwater presented, the graduates are down as well, but not to the same level as enrollment. So we are producing students, and those students are coming forward with initial licensure and advanced licensure programs. So I think we're in a process of having those conversations to move us forward. So with that, I will answer questions, and we can go to the last slide, and I thank you all very much.
Question or comments from the committee? Seeing none from the committee, I'll just add, I had like three takeaways, and no need to really go back to the slides, but I just mention it for anybody who might be listening for Wednesday's presentation. Slide 15 with the retention and the retired teachers serving as mentors program, I think that's really interesting. I was unaware of that program, and I'd like to hear more about that and the successes they might have had. Then slide 18, I believe Dr. Layer had just mentioned about hard to turn the ship around, and I think I mentioned once or twice before in this committee that we can't fix education here in the Senate Education Committee. We try to give the tools to the superintendents and the teachers and to work towards it. I am encouraged to see all this discussion of strategies being taught for supporting struggling readers based on assessments, and the next page where there's actually a reference to SB 111, which took us 90 days, I'll apologize, took us 90 days to get out of this committee, and that's after years of work that the committee's been doing before that to evaluate it. I'm encouraged to see that even though it's still going to grind slowly through the process here, that it is inspiring some changes out in the field where it may be able to make a difference even before we get the bill out. Senator Stevens.
Well, I want to thank Dr. Laird and Dr. Atwater. They have been right at the front of all this. They've done a tremendous job to help us move forward. I appreciate this report. I would like to know where are we with the Board of Regents in getting accreditation back to the entire University of Alaska Anchorage program? Can you just give us an update on where that stands? Is it true that the Regents have decided not to pursue renewing accreditation? Do we have the right understanding of that?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I'll let Steve Atwater come in afterwards, but right now the board has not made any decision on that. The early childhood education program is the first of the initial licensure programs that the board will discuss allowing to move forward. And I think one of the things that the board will insist is if we create that program, that the program move towards applying for accreditation when it is available. But the first step is for the board to approve UAA to move forward with the early childhood education BA degree, which was discontinued a couple of years ago. And so it's a first step. So no, the board has not forbidden that. But the big step is it's sort of a chicken and egg thing where we need to have students graduating from our program to get accredited, but the students need to come from an accredited program to get licensure. And so working with the State Board of Education, we hope to be able to provide that pathway for students to achieve their teaching license in Alaska while the program is going through accreditation. So the June board meeting will be our first test to see that we can start to reestablish those early are those initial licensure programs in Anchorage, and from what I've heard from some members of the board, they are in favor of that.
Dean, do you have anything to add to that? Nothing required. I believe Dr. Laird mentioned he was going to give you a chance to make a comment on that.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Holland, and I think Dr. Laird covered it. I think the key for Senator Stevens is that the state board would have to give conditional approval to UAA. They don't have accreditation, so how do you give approval for, so they would give them perhaps a three-year window in which to attain that accreditation. And therefore, they would accept the recommendations for licensure from UAA for those 3 years while they put the pieces in place to get their accreditation back in place.
Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm wondering whether perhaps Steve might be able to provide, just as a resource for us, back to the reading instruction. It sounds like they're retuning that, and that will be helpful in coming years. If we could get an idea of, like, how many credit hours, kind of what that curriculum looks like, and I'm curious whether they actually have clinical rotations while they're taking the reading instruction, some kind of internship or some kind of requirement during student teaching that they are actually doing some hands-on teaching of reading to students, and also whether they have a special reading endorsement as part of their degree program. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to apologize to both of you for my frustration, and I know that as much as I feel it, you must feel it twice as bad, if not in greater capacity, seeing the struggle to get people to do something that should be normed and acceptable in our community, which is have teachers teaching our children. And so I just thank you for focusing on it and trying your best to move us forward. And understand that my criticism comes from the frustration of how we got here, and that I'm cautiously optimistic about where you're going, and that I'm hopeful that where you're going is where we all need the university's education program to go, which is producing high-quality teachers. Our job is to ensure that we retain those teachers in the state, do our best to set a framework up, as Senator Stevens identified earlier, keep telling us what we need to do to ensure that your work isn't wasted as you try to turn this ship around. Thank you.
So through the chair, Senator Begich, first of all, thank you very much for your support over the years for our education programs. We really appreciate scholarship and other things, because that's important. And so you have a right to be frustrated. We are not achieving sort of the goals that we would like to have in terms of all of our teachers being trained here in Alaska and familiar with Alaska. We have a ways to go on that, and I do appreciate your straightforward comments about our progress, and we will continue to work with you and the committee as we go forward. But once again, you care, and I think that that's very important that that we are seeing that, and we will try to work to make you proud of us as we go forward. But thank you.
All right, with no further comments or questions from the committee, Dean Atwater, Dr. Lehr, if you had any final comments, feel free to offer them at this time. Do you have any last words?
Yeah, this is Dean Atwater, and just this report, as was mentioned by Dr. Lehr, is a biannual report. It comes every 2 years to you, but certainly we're available for testimony or comment, whatever you like, at any point to provide UA perspective. So please feel free to reach out that way.
All right, Dean Atwater, Dr. Lehr, thank you for presenting this this report and for updating us on the work being done to ensure that our children have high-quality, well-trained teachers. We will hear more about this topic at our next meeting, which will be Wednesday, May 5th at 9 a.m. Is there any other business before the committee? Seeing none, we are adjourned at 10 o'clock a.m.